Blog Talk Radio.
You did not wait for me to draw nigh to you, but you clothe yourself in frail humanity. You did not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me.
You don't have to let the devil rule over your life.
But he came, he died on the cross for your sins. And he's right there where you are now. All you gotta do is ask him to forgive you for all of your sins. And he's right there, just and able, to forgive you for all of your sins and blot out all of your transgressions. That's why he came. He came for you. He came to seek and save you. Why don't you accept it?
I don't know about you this morning, but I'm so glad that he came. Yes, I am. He came to seek and save the lost. That's the reason why his presence is there. That's the reason why the anointing is there. That's the reason why he's right there in your home, right there in your job, right there. Right there in that jail cell, he came to seek and save the lost. I don't care what you've done, I don't care where you've been. I came to let you know today that that's why he came. Yes, he did. He came to seek and save the lost. Good
evening and welcome. Thank you for tuning in today here on Blog Talk Radio. You're tuned in to Victory Against All Odds. I am your host, Evangelist Benton. Today is May the 20th, 2013. For my first-time listeners, Victory Against All Odds is a radio broadcast where the mission is to encourage people to become empowered with strategic life tools to overcome abuse, rejection, fear, abandonment, and oppression. Again, thank you for taking time out to join me this evening, for truly today is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad. We are excited to be in it. No matter what it looks like, no matter what the situation is, we still give God glory in all things because we know that he has made a way of escape for you and for me. And it doesn't matter how much of it or how much the trial or how heavy the trial or how deep or wide it is, we know that we serve a God who is able and just to deliver us from them all. Amen. Praise God. We praise God for today is the 20th day of the month. 20 represents expectancy. It represents waiting. It represents accountability. 20 also represents accountability. It represents responsibility, and it represents service. We are glad that today is the 20th day because if we think about it from the scriptural standpoint, for example, Jacob, he expected to leave Laban with his two wives. He waited 20 years before he was able to do so, and that you can find in Genesis 28 and 38 in verses 41. Or we can look at it from this perspective. Remember, Israel expected to be delivered from the hand of the Philistines. After 20 years of waiting, Samson delivered Israel from the Palestinians, and you can find that scripture in Judges 16 and 31. So perhaps you are expecting, you are waiting for direction, waiting on an answer, that question, that problem, that situation that you have before the Lord, that you are waiting for. We know that we serve a God who can answer. We are waiting. To be waiting is to expect, or to be expecting is to be pregnant, waiting to give birth to something. Something that you know that you're supposed to be doing, or perhaps you're still waiting and expecting that thing to come to pass, waiting to give birth to assignment or whatever your call is or whatever that purpose is in your life. We know that God is able. He is able to deliver us. And the scripture comes out of Micah 7 and 7. It says, therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for God of my salvation. Praise God. My God will hear me. That means that we can put our petition up before the Lord knowing that he will hear us. He's not going to be busy. You don't have to wait for a busy signal or you're going to get a dial tone. He hears us, and he certainly does answer our prayer. Aren't you excited that we can wait and expect that God keeps his promises? And so that thing that he has promised you, if you would just but wait and throw in the towel, that he will bring it to pass. Praise God. That was for somebody. I don't know who that was for. But we know that there's somebody who is waiting on an answer, expectation. You're trying to figure out where you're going, why this and why that in this particular time and season during your life, why things don't look right. But if you just hold on to God's unchanging hand, we know that God will deliver. And that includes you. He has not forgotten you, man and woman of God. We thank God for you. We are so excited this evening. I am so excited about what God is doing. So I came this evening to remind you that it shall not be as long as it has been. It's not going to take you 20 years. It's not going to take you 40 years as the children of Israel in the wilderness. Perhaps 40 days, but not 40 years. You will not have to wait 20 years. For the word of the Lord says in Psalms 27, verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage. That means be of good cheer. And he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Let us hope be, let our hope be in God, be in the Lord, be brave in your heart. That's what that scripture is really saying. It's saying be brave. Hallelujah. Look unto Jehovah. Jehovah means to be, he causes us to become. Hallelujah. To become is to be expecting, is to be waiting for something, for a change, like a metamorphosis, like the caterpillar to become a butterfly. So we praise God for what he is doing, what he is moving, how he's changing. And if you would just be patient and wait on him, be of good cheer while you wait on the Lord. We praise God for you. Hallelujah. I am so excited about this evening. It is my great pleasure to welcome my special guests on this evening. My special guests are here in Raleigh. Miss Adrienne Miller and her husband, Jerry Miller, and they are both here in Raleigh, and they attend New Life Triangle Church in Raleigh. Adrienne is founder of Shout to Stop Trafficking and International Human Trafficking Initiative, which is headquartered right here in Raleigh, North Carolina. She is also founder of Pros Network, which links prostitution to resources. She is an anti-violent and anti-human trafficking advocate, and she is also the author of 3 books. And we also have her husband, who's also going to be joining us, and you'll be hearing from him as well. And he is founder of Pastors Against Prostitution, or I should say Pastors Against Human Trafficking. So I wanted to welcome both of you on this evening.
Hi, Denise. How are you? I don't know whose word that was for, but I'll take it, okay? I'm just going to get out and grab it and take it for me, because I know that that word spoke to me, and I know it spoke to others, too.
And me, too.
Amen. I said, oh, I'm grabbing this for myself. I don't know if anybody else is going to claim that, but it's for me, so thank you for that.
You are so welcome, and I am excited to have both of you on the line tonight and the listeners. I am just excited. Had the pleasure of meeting you all at the NC CASA conference and was just really excited about all the various information that I was exposed to and that I learned. I think some time ago when I first when the ministry was first birthed and I began to speak on various levels and different aspects of child abuse and sexual violence and domestic violence, I did come across, you know, human trafficking, which was a little, to me, I consider it to be a different level of a sexual abuse. And so I am glad that you are both here. I wanted
Thank you.
To, you know, talk about that. You're welcome. You're welcome. And I wanted to talk about that, but before we even get there, I want you to tell the listening audience about, you know, you and your passion, and how did you get here? How did you get to this place about human trafficking? How did all that take place?
Well,
tell us about yourself first.
Oh, I think you already did that, Denise. I was planning on talking for 4 hours, so is that okay? Because I've got that blocked up on my schedule. 4 hours. Well, I know that the Lord had called me early as a child, and when people say that, they're like, yeah, yeah, okay, that sounds prideful. But when you know when the Lord is calling you. I tell people all the time, I say, oh, the Lord's got your hair. I mean, only God can get your attention like God can. He knows how to get people's attention. And I knew at an early age he was speaking to me about different things, and I would just be speaking out prophecy or doing different things, and I didn't really know when I was a child. It says in the Bible I spoke as a child, and when I'm adult, I speak as an adult. But I knew right away that God had a call for me, and that was always people. Because even as a child, my family would say, you're always helping people, and people are always coming to you for advice and asking you stuff. So I saw that developing in me, and then several specific visions from the Lord came to me. And when I was in college, I remember hearing about some of these injustice issues. I studied psychology, and I also studied biology, and I used to think, oh, the Lord wants me to be a doctor because that is a helping profession. But then even in college, people would come to me, and they would say different things. I'm having problems with this, and I'm having problems with that. And then during that time, the Lord started showing me about these issues of human trafficking and just infanticide and different sufferings around the world. And I remember telling the Lord, whatever it is I do for you, I'll do it in your name and I'll do it for your glory, but I would really like to come to a point in my life, if that's your will, because God's going to use you wherever you're at. I think people are waiting to arrive all the time. Well, I'm waiting to arrive in my destiny. But sometimes destiny comes forth when you're moving. And my husband and I always say, sometimes we don't know where God's leading you, but if you can just moving forward and praising and going forward, then God's plan's revealed sometimes. So anyway, I said, Lord, I'd like to get to that place. Where I would like to help, you know, victims of human trafficking, the enslaved. And so for a long time now, I've been reaching out to the enslaved, and I call it the homeless without Christ, because those who don't know Jesus are homeless without Christ, but the enslaved in body, mind, and spirit. And when I'd write and speak about it, I would always say, Lord, break the bondage, but also break and get free those that are enslaved in body, mind, and spirit. And then suddenly it started coming around, and I would start talking about human trafficking. And quite frankly, people didn't even believe me. And my husband knew about human trafficking, but I don't think he knew the full extent of it. And when we would talk and pray, we saw together how God was working this out, that we would be aligned to do this for him. And people just didn't believe us. I would talk about human trafficking, and they would say, you know, that's a third world issue. And I would be, baby, welcome to the third world, because the world's at our doorstep, and we're not ready. And see, I think a lot of times Christians just aren't ready. You know, see, what we have to do is we have to stay ready. So when his will comes and we see what's happening, we'll be ready to step out. But see, we're too busy, you know, not ready. We got to get ready. So anyway, I would be speaking and preaching and teaching about, you know, enslavement and freedom and things like that. And then all of a sudden it just came about that the Lord started, I would just bump into prostitutes and I would do different things. And you know, prostitutes are an underserved population of human trafficking because people still view that as a choice. And they're like, well, prostitutes want that kind of lifestyle. Well, I'm sure there are some prostitutes. You know, if you're Julia Roberts in the movie Pretty Woman, you say who, you say when, you say how much, I guess that's empowering. But for a street prostitute that may be forced to have sex 20 or 30 times a night, it's not empowering, and that's not a lifestyle that God wants those people to have. So I would continue to encounter those kind of people and knowing, you know what, Lord, I just, whatever it is, I've given my life to you, and I know you freed me in Jesus' name, and those who he calls, he will equip, and those who he equips, he will appoint and send out. So I know that he's doing that, and I continue to walk every day and asking God to bring those people into my path that I know that I need to talk about, you know, helping the prostitutes be rescued and talk about how they can be free in Jesus' name. So I think that people call me anti-human trafficking or anti-violence advocate, and I have done that, but I think I'm just sometimes a voice for the enslaved. And I just love that because, you know, that's what the gospel is. You know, Jesus was, you know, the person with the key, you know, to free the enslaved. So that's a long, you know, you're not going to have any time filling the time, you know, Denise, you already knew that probably. But anyway, that's how I sort of got involved in anti-human trafficking. And that's, you know, I do work in anti-prostitution and I do travel and I do have some books. But I think wherever I'm going to go, I know the Lord will put those people in my way and I'll minister to them.
Wow, that's awesome. I like the homeless without Christ.
Yeah.
I like that.
The Lord showed me that.
I never thought about it like that from that perspective.
No, the Lord had put that on my heart a couple years ago, and I started preaching on that, and I was like, Lord, yes, the homeless without Christ. You know, people say, I never see homeless people in my neighborhood. I said, because you're not looking. Well, I don't see prostitutes. Well, that's because a lot of them are beneath the surface now. But see, those people need to be reached out to. You know, you're not going to really, you know, not most of us are not walking and have a prostitute or a homeless person come up to us. But sometimes we have to go to where they're at. And we have to be open at all times. And yes, those people who don't know Jesus are homeless without Christ.
Right.
And they need to
Absolutely.
Be set free.
Absolutely. And I guess my thought to, you know, how do you know they're not there? Because what is it that you, how did you, what was your depiction of what that's supposed to look like in terms of a prostitute? You know, what did you label them to look like? They could be sitting right next to you. You know, especially when you're talking about a new generation of people with a different mindset, new clothing, you know, just, you know, so they may not look like what you see on television or what the description used to be, you know, even 10 years ago. So that is a mindset that I think that definitely needs to be addressed.
And actually, people ask me that question often. You know, Adrian, how do you know when there's a prostitute around? Well, the Lord's discernment, that really helps a lot, and I praise the Holy Spirit for that. When I was a child, I know we would drive, you know, my family would drive, and my mom would say, don't go down there. Those, you know, those are not some nice girls down there. And, you know, you would see some girls walking the street. You know, nowadays we don't always see that, but people who are buying sex, who are looking for sex, who are looking for a prostitute, they know where to go. And a lot of times in cities, the cab drivers, and I'm not picking on cab drivers, but a lot of times people will ask cab drivers, hey, do you know where there's a bar in town? Do you know where there might be some girls in town? Well, who else goes all over the city? A cab driver.
Yes.
You know, they know, they are on the heartbeat. They know what's going on. And a lot of times a girl or a guy, depending, will send out signals. And if you're out there trying to buy sex, you can pick up on those signals. If you drive by some restaurants, people loitering outside, my husband and I encountered a situation recently I guess I should be careful with the names of the different restaurants, but a very popular fast food restaurant. It was very obvious as soon as we walked in, she was trying to get my husband's attention, and he was too busy looking at me because I was looking at him knowing who he was. I was like, that guy's running this girl. So I was getting ready to go into action, so to speak. And then, you know, a lot of times, you know, that's got an evil control there, and, you know, they take off and you just go on. But, you know, you usually can tell. When someone's out to get something, you know that's true. Just like drug addicts, they know where to go, and they know how to send signals for what they want. So a lot of it is signals, and a lot of it is just encounters. Like I may say to a girl or a guy, you know, hey, how are you doing, and start talking to them. And then, you know, God works it out to build up a conversation.
Wow, he has given you a gift of discernment concerning, you know, that very thing. And I can hear it. And that's a powerful thing. I talk about the gift of discernment all the time because it is one of those essential tools that I just believe that we all need, whether you're saved or not, you know, because it keeps us from walking into all kinds of things otherwise that we wouldn't have had not been for, you know, the ability to discern. And it keeps us from being entangled in some things that we otherwise would be had not been for the spirit of discernment. So I thank God for that. So then, hearing all of this, how did Shout to Stop Human Trafficking, how did that come into birthing? How did that come to birthing in the mission of, how did you even get that, you know, how did that name, how did God drop that name in your spirit? And how did that unfold for you? And what is the mission of Shout to Stop?
Stop. Well, Share His Light Ministries, and actually we're 20 years old this year, so I praise God for that. It was interesting you were saying 20. I was like, oh, she didn't know that we were 20 years old this year. That was interesting in the beginning of the show. I said, praise God for that. Share His Light Ministries is 20 years old, and that's our sister 501, and that was the first thing that God had started was the 501. And you know, we started doing, you know, we have prayer groups, and we also have international intercessors, and we have some prayer blogs, and we have prayer meetings that are going on around the city and around the country. People are praying about different things. So we have a prayer network going on, and we also have online intercessory prayer. So through the prayer blogs, there's different intercessors around the world that can access that and start praying through that. So we did prayer. We do work with police and law enforcement, and we were concerned about working more with prostitutes and working in human trafficking, but that wasn't really something that was a real focal point. We did want to incorporate that more, working with prostitutes and any pornography, because pornography and prostitution can be gateways to human trafficking, and there are other gateways, including poverty and drug abuse, and early childhood sexual experience is a key too, and that's usually molestation or rape that can be a key to human trafficking. So it sort of developed out of that, where we started working more with gangs, we sort of worked more with law enforcement and things like that, and then as we gained, and God gave this footing to us as we went on, and then I had a vision in my quiet time of this big pair of lips. And I was like, Lord, I know you're saying I'm just a talker. And my husband always says, but honey, he's using it for his glory. And I said, well, not all the time, but I praise God that I do have a mouth to speak. And I saw these big red lips, and I kept asking the Lord, exactly what is this? And they opened before me in the spirit. And then all of a sudden this power came out, and it was like, shout. And then the Lord just birthed that, shout to stop trafficking. And I remember writing that down. Prayer journal. I encourage everyone to write things down in the Lord, because, you know, like you said, Denise, a lot of discernment that the Lord gives us, it's for avoidance things. People get tangled up in all kinds of things. I'm like, how did you get yourself into that? Better yet, let's find out how you're going to get out, because God's going to deliver you out of that. But, you know, sometimes people get entrapped into the same things. So I saw the red lips, and I saw the shout, and the Lord spoke to my spirit, and he said, shout to stop trafficking. And so I said, praise God. And, of course, out of that came Pastors Against Trafficking and PROS Network, which links prostitutes to resources. And because of the negative stereotype with prostitutes, sometimes that can be a problem. People are like, well, why didn't they run away? And why did they get themselves into the situation? And, you know, the definition that the government uses for human trafficking is force, fraud, or coercion. And, you know, it's for a gain. You know, that could be labor trafficking, that could be sex trafficking, and, of course, body trafficking, which is something we're really moving into more now than ever. And we've been approached with someone recently doing some documentary work through Atlanta. And I said, oh, it's funny that God should bring you before me, because we're now working in body trafficking, and that is the trafficking in organs. Around 40% of kidneys that are available for transplantation have come from the black market, according to the internet and some other sources. So there's a whole other aspect of using the entire body for profit. So anyway, the Lord had just put all these keys together, working with law enforcement, and, you know, we do work internationally, but we're headquartered in Raleigh, but we're trying to really work, you know, into Canada and to other places, and we know some people in the Sudan, and there's a number of things going on there too, and we're just trying to link together as many people who feel called to work in this anti-human trafficking movement, not just locally. To work together to see how we can really form a network to help these people. Because so many people say prostitutes should just run away. If they're forced onto the street, run away. But if you had these early experiences, early childhood sexual experience, and they call it on the street pimp grooming. That's the technical term for it, is pimp grooming, is when someone has beaten you down so far you succumb to this kind of lifestyle. And we know Jesus set them free. So it is called pimp grooming. And that's another reason that a lot of prostitutes and trafficking victims cannot run away, because they've succumbed to this. And, of course, we know there's a spiritual element in there, too.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like that's where the enslavement portion comes from. That's where the enslavement
comes in when they've gotten to a point where they feel like they're trapped or chained or bound, you know, to either the the person that has enslaved them, and or the print grooming, so they don't see an alternative.
Well, and
out.
Some of these girls and guys, they're coming from families, broken families. And we
mm-hmm.
know that's Satan's tool to break up families. This
Absolutely.
One girl that we worked – exactly. And this one girl that we worked with, she was 9 years old when she started being prostituted out by her uncle. And she was in a shelter, a human trafficking shelter for domestic minors, which is DMST, domestic minor sex trafficking. And my husband and I visited with her, and one minute she's talking like a little girl. I love your eyelashes. We love your eye makeup and your mascara and your eyeshadow. And then the other, 5 seconds later, she's talking about her daddy. Well, when it comes down to it, it's not her daddy, it's her pimp. She calls
wow.
him daddy. The whole time we were there. Sure. Well, daddy's missing me right now, and I really need to go back to daddy. And the lady that was running the shelter said she's not talking about her dad. I said, I got that impression that she's talking about her pimp. So,
mm-hmm.
there's a breakdown in family. There's a need to be loved. And, we know sex goes back from the very demand of human nature. Our very nature is carnal. So it's not hard for us to imagine why Satan has used this very thing of our human nature to entrap us and to enslave us, pornography, prostitution. Buying sex is never okay. It's not right to buy sex. So this is how this all transpired. I just praise God, and I told my husband, you're a pastor, and I'm working as a reverend and a pastor, but I feel like you as a man embracing this issue and talking to your fellow pastors through and working this Pastors Against Trafficking Network, because so many things are in the church, Denise. We know that. Pornography, prostitution,
right.
And people like, no, that doesn't happen in my church. It does happen. And
Absolutely.
It may not be happening everywhere, and it may not be happening in your church, but we need to set the captives free. And what a great place to start is right there in the church.
That's right. That's right. And we're going to get to that part.
I'm just in the car driving on here. I'm sorry, Denise.
That's okay. That's okay.
I had to slow the car down.
Just kind of going down the list, and so you kind of touched on, because my next question is going to be, regarding the mission, what does that look like locally and then globally, which you've touched on a little bit. So how do you assist the other countries in creating and strengthening support structures for victims, abroad, globally?
Yeah, globally. Okay. Well, we do education, and we do advocacy, and we do some direct services with human trafficking victims. A majority of them are already in shelters. And, of course, our work with prostitutes, that's a little different because, many of them are victims of human trafficking. Of course, we know that. And, of course, they're trafficked by Satan. But some prostitutes, which some people call girls, And I've talked to my husband, I've talked to call girls before, and we're like, or sex workers, and by the way, there's a movement on in the United States to organize sex workers under a sex worker union. I didn't know if you knew that, but it's very big overseas, and it's trying to take place in California and in New York and some other places in the United States to give sex workers a voice, to have their own 401k and have their own, insurance plans and stuff like that. To work with. Yeah, it's amazing. When I talk to these ladies, I'm like, so this is your choice, your occupation? Yeah, we love it. And one call girl, quote unquote, that we spoke with, me and my husband did, she said, I love it. And I said, what's so empowering about this for you? And she said, it's the hours. She said, my boyfriend buys the condoms, and he drops me off at my appointments. And he said, after my appointments, if I get a good tip, we go out to eat. So there's this separation between the act of sex and paying for sex, and that her boyfriend knew about it and he was supportive about it and making an enterprise out of it. But we try to identify groups, organizations, of course, that are like-minded and spiritually like-minded as well, to see how we may be able to use our individual organizations to help rescue these people. And there's no real shelter for these people. There's one in the United States called Thistles, and that's in Tennessee. And there are other people working on the street with prostitutes, but there's no home, and I would really love to see us, you know, in Raleigh especially, start a home, a rehabilitation area where we can come together. And I told you this before, Denise, I'd love to have a church for the prostitutes to come to, because sometimes, you know, the pastors don't want them in their churches if they find out, and even if they suspect, they're very leery. So we're working our international connections, too, and trying to see how we can just pool the resources. And, you know, I'd love to have a John school here in Raleigh. I've talked to a number of people about that. And, you know, a Jane is a girl that buys sex, and a John is a man that buys sex. So we already know that when prostitutes are caught on the street and they're arrested, it's them that go to jail. And
right.
the person that bought the sex, they're free. So under this guideline of the John school, there would have to be this tremendous legislative initiative. It'd have to all come in line under law enforcement. And then when they do get arrested, they both get arrested. And then the Jane or John would have to go to what's called a John school. And then the money that they would collect for their fines would go to pay for that. And they would talk about, you know, safe dating, human trafficking, it's not good to buy sex. And something that's happened in the legislative realm that we're very excited about and we've been supporting, our group has been supporting, is the expungement of child prostitutes, which there are no child prostitutes, there's only prostituted children. Child prostitutes, quote unquote, would have their record expunged because that's going to follow them for the rest of their life. And if they were certified victims of human trafficking, they were automatically human trafficking victims if they were forced to have sex. You know, there's no child prostitutes. And this expungement would give them a chance at a new life. So we're working our networks, and, you know, it's we always say this, we're 20 years old, but we're still in the beginning phases because there's so many things to do and so many volunteers out there. And human trafficking right now, the FBI will tell you this, the human trafficking is like what breast cancer or domestic violence was 30 years ago. You know, everyone's talking about human trafficking right now. It's all over the TV, which is great. I love that. And a lot of people are
doing
to work in human trafficking. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we're a faith-based 501, and we're privately funded. And all the money that we take in, it goes to run our organization and to help the victims. We none of us even make a salary from it because we all have other jobs. But we've come together in a coalition and a mindset to say, Christ can free. He and those who are free indeed. I believe that in Jesus' name. And that's our call. We've got to share the gospel of Christ with people. We've got to tell people if you're enslaved, you can be set free.
Does
that answer your question, Denise?
Well, and you've kind of you're doing really well because you're running into the questions that I actually had down here. You know, what does the average person, you know, how does the average person recognize human trafficking? That was one of my questions. And what do we do to report those crimes if we suspect? You've touched on the reporting side, which was one of the questions. But, you know, how does the average – I mean, how do we recognize human trafficking? You know,
well,
you know,
most human trafficking – go ahead.
I was going to say, for some of this, they, you know, that is – it's an – I don't say it that way, or they think about human trafficking as – third world only and not sitting right here in, you know, in your neighborhood across the street down the corner kind of thing. So how do we recognize human trafficking and what do we do if we suspect that such a crime? How do we report that and who, you know, and you talked about law enforcement. So, you know, if we can get into, I know our laws, I know I was looking at some of the criminal provisions for trafficking in the various states and the, you know, what bills have been passed, you know, accordingly, according to the states around the United States. So if you could, what, you know, what, how do we report such a thing if we even
that's
suspect?
A great, okay. Well, that's a great question. And most human trafficking victims don't even know they're trafficked. And we've encountered human trafficking victims that have been in shelters, et cetera, and they're like, what are you talking about? What is this human trafficking thing? So there is a dynamic there that some of the victims, they themselves don't understand that dynamic. But I tell people, if you or someone you know or suspect is being trafficked, are being trafficked, people are being trafficked, you should call 911. But also, you can call the National Trafficking Resource Center, and that's set up by the government. And that's 1-888-37-37-888. They've got it so you can memorize it real good. 1-888-37-37-888. Because if there's a real victim of human trafficking, they do need to be, you know, free. They need to be found and they need to be free. Now, you brought up a number of interesting points about, you know, how do we suspect and how do we look. And I know sometimes we see people that we work with and they're like, hey, there's a trafficking victim. I'm like, hold on, we don't know if that person is actually being trafficked. And I think it's interesting that exploitation, that goes back to our carnal nature. I mean, even as a child, I can remember even on the playground hearing kids, well, I'll be your friend for a piece of candy or doing this. And, you know, human nature is to be very exploitive. But extreme exploitation can lead to this manipulation. And I'm not saying all exploitive situations lead to human trafficking, but it can. And this chipping away at someone, this using someone, you know, this carnal nature gets introduced, and then suddenly this person finds themselves a victim of human trafficking. And I always tell people, you know, sex trafficking for some people is so glamorous, and that's sort of weird to say glamorous in that way, but a lot of people and a lot of organizations are really focused on sex trafficking. There's a great organization called Shared Hope International. You may be familiar with it. I believe it's sharedhope.org is the webpage on the website. But Linda Smith is a congresswoman, or she was, and she started Shared Hope International, and she does a report card for every state, and she ranks them. A all the way down to F, A, B, C, D, E, F, on legislation. Most every state in the nation, except the one or two, do not have any basic form of human trafficking legislation. But we all are covered under, all of our states are covered under the Trafficking Victims Protection Act, which originally was initiated by the government in 2000. Now, they continue to change it and update it and reauthorize it over the years. And what that specifically says is human trafficking is force, fraud, or coercion for a gain. What really needs to be – I'm appreciating that people talk about sex trafficking. I am. And I thank you that more people are talking about prostitutes. And instead of looking at them and go, wow, look how you're dressed, lady. Don't you have any more self-respect than that? Maybe we could look beneath the surface. You know, because human trafficking is modern-day slavery. It's more than a civil rights violation. It's moral injustice, and it has to stop. And when we see a prostitute, we can't just automatically say, they want that. Maybe we should look at them and say, something's wrong with this girl, and I really, really want to look beneath the surface, and I want to find out what's going on. Now, the State Department ranks countries all over the world, and you can visit the State Department website, the United States State Department website, and you can see through the TIP report, the Trafficking in Persons report that comes out every year, you can view that and see all the countries and what their ranking is in the world for human trafficking. And there are countries in Asia and other countries that are big for sex trafficking. But a lot of countries are big for labor trafficking, and we are seeing body trafficking on the increase. So I hope people will go there and educate themselves more about human trafficking, because the United States government, through the Rescue and Restore campaign, they've done a great job in providing all kinds of resources. And the resource hotline that I gave you, the 1-888 number, they are staffed 24 hours a day. They have plenty of translators in every language you can conceivably think about, and they can talk to you about human trafficking. Exactly what is it? I think I am suspecting my neighbor might be trafficked. And this is something to look for, too. You remember the girls the last couple of weeks we heard about? It was in Ohio?
Yes.
Do you remember that? And the door locked from the outside. Now, I've done some street work in different cities. I'm not going to mention which cities, but I have seen those doors where they lock from the outside, because that is meant to keep people in. not to keep people out. So if you see the windows are blacked out of a house, there's excessive trash, there's excessive cars coming in and out at all hours of the night, and people will say, "Hey, that's a drug house." Well, it may not be. You know, there was a famous case sort of a couple of years ago out of Dunwoody, Georgia. And by the time the authorities were called, you may have heard about it. It was an upscale part of Atlanta. There were girls handcuffed to the beds upstairs. There were some girls that were actually walking around doing different things in the house. There were men in bedrooms there visiting. And they also had some street prostitutes out on the street, and not in that neighborhood, but actually in downtown Atlanta. And when the police and FBI finally got involved, they asked the neighbors, was there anything suspicious going on here? They said, "I don't know, but we saw guys coming and going all night long, all day long, and we didn't know what they were doing." And I guess I'm more, I don't know, curious, Denise. I would call the police.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But for some reason, they just didn't feel, and even with this Ohio case, we heard of some incidences where someone saw a girl naked outside.
And I told my husband.
Yeah, they didn't say, "Why is there a naked person outside that girl's house?" I would have called immediately. And, of course, the screaming. So I tell people, it's better to be so wrong, so wrong and think you're wrong than it is to do something right. I mean, you can't just ignore things when you see them. So we have to be motivated to be thinking that maybe a person we see may be a victim of labor trafficking or human trafficking. And what about fair trade? You know, fair work means you get a fair wage. And there's a movement.
Fair trade.
And I want to explain about fair trade. Fair trade means when we buy products that are, like, certified fair trade, that we're saying that product has not been made by a person who's been exploited in its making. Tops that have beads, things that are dyed, coffee, chocolate, tea. And I tell people all the time, if you don't believe me about all these things, get on the internet. How about what's going on with the chocolate industry? We've got Senator Harkin and Senator Engel. One of them has passed away. I can't remember which one it was, but the Harkin-Engel protocol was directly aimed at the chocolate industry, saying, is this chocolate picked by exploited people? And you can look at on the internet, and all the chocolate companies have never resolved this issue. They've never told anybody that our chocolate is certified fair trade. And I want to give Larry's Beans Coffee, I guess we didn't give permission to use their name on the air, but I hope they're okay with that. But they are moving towards this fair trade proof, because fair trade, if you get, if your factory or manufacturing place, if someone comes to investigate to see how you're operating, they can do that at like one time a year, and they make sure they call, "Oh, I'm going to call and come by." But certified fair trade proof, or fair trade proof, means I can come to your factory anytime I want to, and I can look at your factory, and if I see something exploitive, I'm going to say something right away. And Larry's Beans Coffee is the only product that I know that's made locally right here in Raleigh, Larry's Beans Coffee, that's certified fair trade proof. And Larry himself, is working towards making sure all fair trade products are fair trade certified proof.
Wow.
So I would just challenge people, the next time you're drinking coffee and eating chocolate or wearing something with beads, think about who may have made that. Was that a little girl or a little boy who may have been forced to sew beads on a shirt and then later be sex trafficked at night?
Wow.
So human trafficking.
And I think we've come to a place where we've become so desensitized, if you allow me to say it that way. Or we have this mindset of mind your own business. I say all the time, especially when I'm talking about child abuse, sexual abuse, about ignoring and turning your head and acting like you don't see or keeping silent. And so the whole thing about victory against all odds is for you to say something. You know, don't be so ashamed that you keep this, quote-unquote, this a secret. It's not
exactly
a secret. You know, this is one of those secrets you just do not keep. And so one of the reasons why I was so compassionate about, having you both on the air is because it needs to be exposed. I believe in exposing those things that, you know, that keep us bound and chained.
Mm-hmm.
And then, too, I did the circle where you look at it from another lens. And when we think about, I mean, you know, being honest and transparent, we think about prostitution, we think about it only from one perspective. And
exactly.
That is that same perspective of they made a choice. And so why are you living this lifestyle? Why did you choose to degrade yourself or use your body in this particular manner? And so to have it come from a different perspective in terms of human trafficking brings a whole nother level to me of sexual abuse, which is what made me be so compassionate about, you know, exposing this. Because to me that's exactly what it is, especially when we talk about, you know, trafficking minors. And being a survivor of sexual abuse myself, it could have gone a whole lot of ways, you know, based off of decisions I could have made because of, you know, of what I went through. You know, but I thank God for him being there and giving me wisdom and knowledge to do exactly what I said at the beginning of the broadcast, and that is know that I have help, looking to him for my help instead of trying to medicate my pain, my shame, and or blame. You know what I'm saying? So,
And, you know, that's how a lot of these traffickers are getting away with it, and molesters, because they're using the fact that you'll feel ashamed as a weapon against you. Like,
yeah.
It's your fault that this has happened to you. So I praise God that you have said that, and I just rejoice that you found victory over this in Jesus' name. I really do, and I thank you for being so candid to share that.
Well, yes. I mean, the reason why victory was even birthed was because I recognize that just as I've said, that we, you know, waiting in expectancy is to be pregnant. And when we're pregnant, we're waiting to give birth to something. And once I overcame my shame and my blame and it wasn't, quote unquote, a secret anymore, I realized that my assignment on the earth was to give back and to go back. Now that I am victorious, and I am,
Amen.
You know, not I am an overcomer, and I have overcome. It is my job to pull others out, because if the word says he won't put any more on us than we can bear, then he allowed me to go through it so that someone else could be. And so I feel that is just so compassionate to me, and so, you know, just talking about this brings an awareness, and also it makes us, quote unquote, accountable. Remember, 20 represents accountability, responsibility, and service. So it is significant, woman of God, that you would be here on the 20th day, that you chose 20 when I called you, because think about exactly what we're doing. You're talking about service, being responsible, and accountability. So That this is just so timely, and it's so ordained by God. So I appreciate that, and my responsibility and my accountability to those who trust the God in me to bring them knowledge and understanding of sexual abuse, child abuse, domestic violence on all levels, you know, and not always, because it's not about me. So my job is to charge other people to become free. You talked about freedom. So I am here to bring freedom to a body of people, whether they're in the church or out the church, children, adults, men and women, because it's not always women, it's men. Men are probably, I think I heard you say earlier, you know, are victims of this, or boys, I should say, as well. So it's the whole person. If we're going to walk in victory, then we've got to be delivered on all levels and
That's
out the
exactly
whole
right.
being, because it's not just one part. He causes us to be balanced. And so how are we going to be victorious and stand against all the odds and be whole and healed and bring about healing to others if we're not completely healed ourselves.
Well, and see, there's a difference between being thankful and living thankful. And then there's a difference between feeling free and living free. You know,
absolutely.
Once you're free indeed. So a lot of people put themselves back in the bondage of other things because once they're free, they give it up. You know, I've done that too and backtracked. I said, Lord, I'll never live in that kind of bondage again. Why, after being and wanting to be free for so long from a certain thing, why would I put myself back in that bondage? So it's important for us to learn how to live victoriously and live free every day with our thinking and what we say and what we do. So I praise God for that word. I do. I'll take hold of that word. Word too, and I'll just hand out and just put my hand out and grasp it. Thank you for that, Denise. I really appreciate
down,
that. That's uplifting.
Praise God. Praise God.
You know, something that was just kept coming out when you were talking, you know, the traffickers, there's growing statistical information, and you know, people go, oh, I don't want to hear the statistics, you know, North Carolina is 6 or 8 in human trafficking, but it gives us a guideline to go by. We didn't say we were going to go all the way with it. We were just saying once we get a little bit of a hint of something, we can follow it as a trend, and we know that the traffickers, they themselves are more likely themselves to be victims of molestation. So this is a new dynamic that's coming out. And we also know for human trafficking, and this is according to the TIP report for the State Department, and you can look it up online through the State Department website, the countries that are highest in human trafficking have a devaluation of women and children. Well, who better to go after? Somebody, the little people, the
yes.
little victims. And sometimes people call them the faceless. You know what? They're not nameless and faceless to God, so they shouldn't be nameless or faceless to us too. And
that's
what
right.
better when you've been burned by fire? That's the best way to learn. Being burned
absolutely.
By, I mean, I tell the Lord, once I get through the fire, I'm like, I don't really want to go through that again. He's like, why? Because that's the best way to learn. So I say, Lord, okay, well, if you bring home the fire, just, oh, okay, I know that I might get burned, but see, I'll always come out better at the end. So what,
isn't
what
that just like the refining of gold?
Yes, yes. My husband and I were just talking about that today. Yes.
Absolutely,
and that's,
absolutely.
You know, God's mandate to us is we've been through it, so why not tell somebody else how to get through it? You know, somebody yeah. made a map. You know, I think about that all the time. Somebody made a map of West Virginia or North Carolina or whatever it is. They already made a map. Why should I go make a map? So if you've been through it yourself, go ahead and help somebody else through it. That's part of the empowerment, and that's what God wants us to do that.
Amen. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. So, so you talked about earlier resources for prostitution and ProsNet. Can you explain that to us, what resources are available, and how does the ProsNet network tie into that?
Well, Pros Network, as I mentioned before, it links prostitutes to resources, and what we try to do is we work with our partner organizations. We also work with individuals and churches to see if we can – we're in this area, we are doing that, but it's slow work because of this perception of prostitutes. This is a choice. They made this choice. They're probably addicted to drugs or whatever. And you know, you talked about self-medication earlier on. People choose to deal with things at different levels and in different ways. We know that. But once the spiritual door is open, we know that God is the only one who can close that and bring that total freedom. But churches have not always been as open. And I think back, I think, did they not remember the woman at the well and what Jesus did? And it seems like people don't have a memory for that. And sometimes I think that's what I call church abuse. Because I think, you know, all of us as a body of believers, with Jesus as the head and us as part of the body, did we not come from something ourselves? Did
that's
we
right.
not get free of something ourselves? So he saved us. If he didn't save us from something, then what did he save us for? So I think that sometimes the people in the church forget where they came from. I'm not saying
yeah.
we should constantly be reminded, but we do need to remember we are the redeemed of Christ. And those
yeah.
that come in our fellowship, they deserve that same opportunity. I think people think once they're saved, it's not available to anybody else. Well, it was available to you, so it's available to everybody else. So sometimes it's hard to build a network of people who really say, you know what, let me love on the prostitutes. Let me try to find out why they got to this point. So basically we're identifying resources. We try to do case management. And we try to find out exactly what is it that they need and how can we help. And like I said, it is slow going. There are a number of people working to help the prostitutes come off the streets. But once people do find out that there are prostitutes, well, I don't want them to come on to the people in my church. Well, did I say they were going to do that? No, but they came from that lifestyle and they could do that. Well, sure. And there was an incident around Christmas time of a young lady we helped, and she did get a job. And, of course, some of the grocery stores in this area, they laid off around Christmas time, and she just happened to be laid off. And when she called me, she used my street name, which I don't want to mention on the air, but she used my street name. And as soon as she used that, I knew that she had encountered me on the street or someone knew me from that area and knew how to call me. So when she called our outreach line, we have a 24-hour outreach line, which, by the way, I'm going to give that out. It's 919-790-6067. It's a 24-hour prayer and outreach line, 919-790-6067. So she called and she said, you know, so-and-so, I don't want to return to this life, but I don't have a job. So I met with her and we talked and we tried to give her the resources. And I did try to get her plugged into a local church. But, you know, once you start talking about it, and the pastor said to me, he said, well, is that somebody you met from one of your outreaches? Are they a human trafficking victim? Are they a prostitute? And at first I was like, I'm feeling like I don't need to say anything. But the fact that the Lord had me say something, I realized his plan. I said, yes, she's an ex-prostitute. Oh, well, make sure you let me know exactly who she is.
Wow.
You know, and we don't do that for dentists, do we? Oh, there's the dentist in the church, you know, or there's the choir person. You know, we shouldn't be identified with what we have done, but who we are in Jesus Christ. And she is redeemed, and we need to look at her as that way. And, you know, the Bible says it's as far as the east is from the west. So if he did save and deliver us, he did the same thing for her, and she did make a profession of faith. But finally, she is in a church, a local body of church here in Raleigh, and she is growing. But it can be, you know, we're a volunteer group. Like I said, the money that we do raise and take in, it goes to run our organization and help them and the people that need help. So it can be slow going sometimes. And sometimes I feel, Denise, I'm like, oh, we're starting from ground zero again. But the Lord always tells me, look back. Look how far you came. I was like, oh, yeah, I think about how far I need to go. He said, it's okay. Right here is where you need to be. So if you're standing on the X marks the spot, you're going to be moving ahead as long as you're headed in the right direction. Of course, if you want to move forward, you got to be headed that way. So it's better not to look back. But we do try to build relationships again with churches and pastors. People that we know would like to do this kind of work. And, you know, all I can say is if people really feel called, then, you know, start prayer driving. We do a lot of prayer driving, and we reach out to law enforcement, and we get a lot of calls from people. Hey, can I go into the brothels, and can we go and bust these houses down? And I tell people, here's the FBI number. Here's the call. If you really want to bust out, you know, pimps and traffickers, might I say you join them? Because that's what we don't do that, you know. If we're in that situation, we're like, I'll see you later, got to go. Because that's not our job. And you know, I think part of doing something for Jesus Christ is that we can do anything through him who strengthens us and gives us the call. But you know what? You know, you don't need to have your bottom at a place you don't need to be. You know, God will give
you
the sermon.
Nowhere, stay in your lane, in other words.
Yeah, yes. I know when, you know, I'm a big talker, but I know when to stay in my lane. So if you want to do that, that's fine. But, you know, we don't do all the glamorous work, and it's not always out there in the open. And, you know, that's okay with us. You know, if God puts us out there, he'll put us out there. If he wants us to do this, we'll do it. But
and
we feel like we're
moving. Said earlier, equipping us for, you know, the task that he has assigned us to here on earth, walking out our purpose, our destiny, you know. So if you've been equipped, you know, then I feel like, you know, you'll know. Just as you talked earlier, you know, that was your call, your passion. It's in there, you know. But if that level of service is not on your call, then you need to stay in your lane and know that and be comfortable and let the person that's been called give that part over to them. And even though we all have a part, I always talk about walking in the fullness thereof. And even if we're going to be talking about expecting and waiting and in purpose. There's a process, and so each play a part. Now, if we shift that a little bit, we talk about the vine and the branches, and we are being branches, like you were talking about the body, same reference, then, you know, the hand being the fullness, each finger has its own purpose. It has its own task in its position, I say it that way, so that the pinky can't do the pointing finger's job. And, you know, the ring finger can't do the thumb's job. So
Exactly.
So we need to know our position in our call.
Well, and I think people are intimidated often by maybe people that are more well-known. Or they may say, well, I've been working in this area for a long time, and look at all the glory they're getting. But you know what? Don't worry about the things of the earth. God will exalt us in the high places. That's what we need to be concerned about, the high places. You know, I would rather have the applause of heaven than what's here on earth. Do you know what I'm saying? The accolades of earth, they pass away, but the applause of heaven keeps going on and on and on. And, you know, it's hard for us, but it's good that, you know, iron sharpens iron. The Bible says that. It's so good to hear other Christians testifying, because the Bible says they overcame by the power of their testimony.
Yes.
Let's overcome by the power of our testimony, and let's be secure that when the other people are in the other lane passing us by, just give them a wave and a blessing. Don't be a hater. Love you in Jesus' name, and I'm praying for you. And you know what? You may get a little dirt on the windshield once in a while when they're going by, but that's okay, because God's got your back. And when he's got your back, he'll exalt you like no one else. I have seen this over and over. I've seen people come from what we as humans would call obscurity, into this realm where everyone knows what's going on and knows who they are, and they're bringing a word that really changes the body of Christ. So you know what? I don't know about you, Denise, but I'll just be okay doing what I'm doing if I know for sure that I'm doing what God wants me to do.
Absolutely, and he'll exalt you. He'll exalt you, and like you said, all the glory belongs to him anyway. We are only willing vessels. We are willing to be back to ourselves and allow him to take the lead. Yes, absolutely. And walk in the spirit of truth and, like you said, in purity. Because if we've been anointed for that call, then everything flows and lines up. But, again, like you said earlier, not being a hater or having the spirit of envy and or jealousy. Now, one of the other things that you had mentioned earlier when you were talking about, you know, people preying on others or trying to lure them in, I was thinking about the spirit of seducing, the seducing spirit, you know, trying to seduce that person when you were talking about the example about, well, if you do this, I'll give you a piece of candy. That's a seducing spirit. And when we are connected in Christ, we will recognize that's exactly what it is, because we know that the enemy is conniving and deceptive, as you said earlier. And so that's where, again, the spirit of discernment comes in, so that we are able to recognize those spirits that would come in portraying, you know, light, but really they are darkness. You know, this is just so enlightening to me. I am learning a whole lot, because my better half is on here too,
and I would maybe if he feels led to talk about Pastors Against Trafficking, and Jerry, I would love to share with you, you know, for you to share your vision about how you feel about Pastors Against Trafficking, and I just, he's such a great man of God, and of course I'm his wife, so of course I can say that, but I just really believe that, so.
I was just getting ready to bring him in because I didn't want to leave him out. And we've got, let's see.
He's so patient. He has
he
to be
is
married
patient.
To me, right?
We've got a whole 50 minutes. So I definitely want to introduce Pastor Jerry Miller with Pastors Against Human Trafficking. How you doing, man of God?
I am doing very good, and I'm very thankful for the opportunity to share tonight. Thank you so much for your word that you shared earlier, and it really spoke to me where I am at this point in my life. And so know that directly spoke to me as well, and I'm going to continue to meditate on what God has shown me in that word. So thank you.
You are welcome. To God be the glory.
Amen.
And
so tell me, man of God, how did pastors against human trafficking, how was that birthed?
Well, let me go back just like Adrian did, and God called me out at a young age to ministry. When I was in high school, the Lord placed this call on my life, and at first I didn't know what was going on, and I asked my pastor, and he said, pray. And so for the next year, I prayed, and then the Lord, in my senior, the spring semester of my senior year, in high school, the Lord made it very clear to me that he wanted me into ministry. And then that was immediately, once I shared that with my pastor, my church, it was immediately affirmed and confirmed by so many of my fellow church members. They said, we knew that God had a call on your life, and we knew that he was leading you in this direction, and now it's come into being. And then as I went on, the Lord began to direct me and to focus me on what I needed to do. The Lord had placed within my heart a heart for missions, a heart for people, just like I want to be just like Jesus. And
amen.
Jesus focus was on us, on people, on his creation, on his masterpieces. We're each unique, and we are priceless. We're of infinite worth. So the Lord placed that calling on my life. And when I was in college, I had a roommate, and he said, I'll never be a missionary. And I said, I'll never be a pastor. I said, I'm going to be a missionary, not a pastor. And he said, I'm going to be a pastor, not a missionary. Well, guess what? The Lord has both of us in flipped roles. So never say never. But
right.
The Lord knew the giftings that he had placed in my heart. And one of my giftings is to be a pastor, to be a shepherd. And that's been proven out over my years in ministry, and also having a gift of mercy for those who are less fortunate, those who are in bondage and in oppression.
Amen.
And early on, in through my uncle, who's a pastor, and through some spiritual men and women of God, God began to show me the necessity for people to have spiritual breakthroughs, to have freedom in their life. And like you said, a person, when God saves us, he saves us as a whole person. He restores us as a whole person.
Yes.
So all of those things the Lord did in my life and helped me to come to understand, so that I could be prepared for that time when God opened the door for pastors against trafficking. About 3 years ago or so, Adrian asked me if I would take this role on, because God has allowed me to, over the years, especially in the Raleigh area, to form a network, to be a part, I guess, of a network of pastors. And we all have the same heart, same mind, about shepherding and shepherding our flocks, but also to reach those who are spiritually homeless, as Adrian
Amen.
Said.
That's right.
I like that term.
And so the Lord gave as I took that role on, the Lord gave me the burden, the concern, to make sure that pastors are aware of this issue, and then to help them to, you know, first of all, I tell people, educate yourself and then educate others. So if pastors can educate themselves and make themselves aware of this, then they can make this issue known to their congregations.
Mm, that's right.
And then that empowers the congregation to do something. And also as a part of that awareness, I encourage pastors and church leaders, church members, whoever I'm able to come in contact with, do something within your church to address this issue.
Yeah.
So I encourage them, start, if it's just one or two people, but if they have a heart for God in this area, a passion for this issue, start with like, there's so many terms people can use, but like an abolition ministry. But I always encourage them, start with prayer.
Yeah, that's right.
And the reason I say that is because when you are when you're praying, you're in direct connection with the Father.
Mm.
Yeah. And you begin to know the Father's heart about what needs to take place. And as you hear his voice, then he'll direct you where he wants you to go and or what he wants you to do. So, and then, out of that prayer, and that's how Share's Light Ministry was birthed and these ministries were birthed, is out of prayer. Out of that prayer, then God can direct the church, the pastor, the leaders within the church. Oh, we want to take on a greater role. Maybe it's awareness. Maybe it's we want to get more involved in the legislative end. Maybe it's working to support ministries that are working directly with victims. Or maybe the Lord wants us to do something to help someone right in our own backyard who needs
right.
to be restored. And the one of the other things, too, is like Adrian said, is it's law enforcement's role to rescue, because that is a very dangerous place, and people don't need to be placing themselves in danger when, excuse me, law enforcement is trained, and that's what they do best. But who better? I tell people, believers, I believe, who better to help in restoring a person who is like completely and utterly broken, abused, and coming out of that situation. All of the areas of counseling and all those areas are needed, but also bringing in that spiritual dynamic.
Yes.
Jesus Christ is the one who is our healer, the lover of our souls. And he wants to make all of us, he wants to restore us and make us whole. But that person, they need to be made whole once again. And one of the things that the Lord's really placed this on my heart, and I've been accused of, and I'm thankful, I've been accused of talking about Jesus too much, but I'm very... He is the best thing that ever happened to me, and my wife
Absolutely.
Is the second best thing that's ever happened
yes,
to me.
Yes,
amen.
But,
I like the fact that you put that in order, too.
I say that to him. The church members are shocked. They go, what do you mean your husband's not number one? I said, Jesus is number one in my life, and my husband already knew that before I married him. It's Jesus
Absolutely.
First and then him.
Yes.
So yeah, I can completely understand that, honey. Amen. High five.
Amen. Amen. And that's order, you know. Because he told us to love him more than anything else.
And when
so
we do that,
he starts in our life, then if we love God, we know how to love our spouse, whether it be man or woman.
Exactly.
So if we know who he is in our life, then he'll give us instructions, guidance, like you said, on how to love everything that comes underneath that. Whether it be our husband, our wife, our children, how to have compassion, because then we are made and created in his image, and everything that he was is, so are we, because we are made in his likeness, and we are his blueprint. So therefore,
and you said order, too.
Then we can walk that thing out, yes, but order was the first order of the day. When he created heaven and earth, he did that in order.
Yeah, people are always like, well, God does this, and God, he's all over. I'm like, yeah, he is all over, but he does have an order within his structure, and you better get
Absolutely.
Used to that if you want him to work in your life, because he can do
Absolutely.
Anything in Jesus' name and in the Spirit, but some people are so out of order, and they don't realize it, and they can't get, you know, the cross is up and out. It's not sideways. It's up and down. So when you got the up and down right, you'll get the sideways going right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And, you know, I say this, that Satan, the devil, he is the worst human trafficker because he will enslave us in body, mind, and spirit, and also he will use, and a lot of people don't realize they're being used by the enemy to enslave others physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. So he is the worst human trafficker. And we need to expose him for who he is, and the plots, the plans, the strategies of the enemy. We need to be equipped as believers on being able to withstand the attacks of the enemy. And it's also important that we understand who we are in Christ.
Yes.
Our identity is Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
And in him, we have total and complete freedom, and we can, when we live in that freedom, then we can live as he called us to live, and we can, he can do great things in and through us also. So I'm very thankful, and this is a passion that that the Lord has placed on my heart also. And one of the things also is you all were talking about children. We with Shots Stop Trafficking and Pastors Gets Trafficking, we work in making sure that parents and those who work with children are aware that child safety is very very important, especially in this day and this age. We work with a local organization that's tied to a national organization, Global Child Rescue, and they deal with the child abduction end and seeking to rescue, hopefully find those who have been taken. But we really want to make churches and parents and those who work with children, guardians, teachers, grandparents, whoever, aware that child safety is very important, and these are the things to remember. I want to mention this because I think it's very important, and it's coming up. Every May 25th, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and a number of other organizations have what's called Take 25, and on May the 25th, they encourage parents, grandparents, guardians, daycare workers, teachers, Sunday school teachers, to take 25 minutes to talk with the children that they work with, and they actually have 25 talking points on their website. It's called Take 25, the number 25.org. And it's
O-R-G?
Yes, and it's a really excellent a piece that can be used, and it's in Spanish also, English and Spanish.
Yes, that's right.
And it can be used to talk with your children about how to be safe walking to school, walking home. Don't do these things, do these certain things. And it's just an excellent way to reinforce and especially to take that time. Parents could take that, and they could once a week they could take the 25 points and do 25 weeks, however they would like to do that. But that's an important part, because the average age of entry into trafficking for children is between 12 and 14. So it's the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children say every year there are 100,000 documented cases of kidnappings, abductions, and a lot of those are associated with domestic minor sex trafficking. So it's something that we need to take be aware of and to make others aware of. So I just wanted to share that also. It's a very important piece in this whole puzzle that we're looking at.
Well, and also 80% of the people that are trafficked are women and children. So we're still seeing the majority of the trafficking victims that are coming. The transnational organized crime, which is the trafficking between countries, I mean, the State Department estimates that's close to maybe 1 million people being trafficked between countries each year. And we're still seeing that number, 80% women and children, and the other 20% men, and the people coming into the country, we're still seeing that dynamic too. And you know, it's important to say this too, Jerry, that human trafficking is a form of child abuse, and it's a form of sexual assault. And when you look at the whole dynamic of human trafficking, it is such a multifaceted crime. It's an international crime. True human trafficking, it can involve rape, it can involve kidnapping, drug abuse. A lot of these victims are drugged. It's so multifaceted. And I was very upset about the Ohio case because no one has come forward yet and said that that person was a trafficker. He held these women and these girls enslaved, and they only charged him with 3 counts of rape. Well, he raped them a lot more than 3 times over the years.
Absolutely.
And so I'm still working through that in prayer. And I'm just all over that because I don't understand why that hasn't happened. But a lot of these cases, Jerry, like you said, missing people, they could be bound in, you know, sexual servitude like these girls were. And so I think we need to be made aware, and something we do too is child ID. Because once a child goes missing, a trafficker or kidnapper can take your child 1 mile every minute. And by the time you call the police and they come to your house and they do the DNA sampling and stuff, they could take hours. But see, we always encourage
people. That child is 3 states old.
Yes, exactly. So, I mean, if they go 1 mile every minute, they're way past your house. And what we always encourage people to do is take a picture of your child every birthday and put that in a special place. You don't have to tell them we're doing that in case you ever go missing, but make sure you have a hair sample and do a DNA sample. We teach people how to get all this stuff and keep it in a safe place. And then if that, God forbid, that ever happens, hand it to the police and say, God forbid this happened, but I'm ready. And then they take it right away, and they can get the tracking dogs and everything on that. And that's just really helpful to the police and law enforcement. We need to learn to partner with them. They're in a position of authority, and we need to recognize them and realize that they're making a stand against lawlessness, and we need to partner with them in that.
Wow, this message is so important and definitely needs to be addressed. And me and myself as a leader, that's one of the reasons why I felt it, urgent that we get the message out because of this. And I recognized immediately the levels and the hit, you know, that it was hidden and that it's a form of child abuse, sexual abuse, you know, on all levels. It was very clear to me that it was appropriate for Victory Against All Odds, because that's exactly what my call is about, you know. And so this has just really brought such an awareness to me, even on levels and lenses that I didn't even think of. So I am truly, truly, truly blessed and excited and glad that you all have been blessed to do such a call and answer the call, for one, you know, because sometimes, you know, God will prompt our hearts to do something, and because of the spirit of fear, you know, we tend to ignore it and do something else, you know, or our ignorance, or, you know, the fact that we decide that we're not going to move. And one of the things that you said earlier about moving forward, that is my best, I love that. And so that's one of the things that I have been driving about, not being stagnant. Because I'm not sure if you are aware of this, man and woman of God, 13 represents the spirit of backsliding. And to backslide is to go the opposite way. And sometimes when we go backwards, we find ourselves back in a place where we were bought out of or what we've been delivered from. And when we get stuck, sometimes we're stagnant. And so my call is to keep us moving forward and not to look back, not to move backwards, not to be subjective to the spirit of rejection and spirit of rebellion, which is also what 13 represents. And we see this all over the place, in government, in the lives of the people, the believers, in and out of the body of Christ. We see this, and so we already know that the Lord is definitely not pleased. And some of the things that are going on, even down to legislation, people are trying to hinder and block what we know to be right concerning a people, you know, in and out of the body of Christ, even down to what we're talking about and how sometimes because of the mindset of people not wanting to accept this. And one of the things that's bothering me as you all are talking is the mindset of pastors or leaders, I should say. You know, those are the very ones that you would think that would remember, as you stated earlier, that they are people, that's a soul, that, you know, that is someone who needs deliverance, and that we did not just arrive, but we had to go through some things, we had to be delivered some things. And maybe it wasn't necessarily prostitution, but, you know, you were a homemonger, or, you know, you were having sex with this one, that one, and you got children all over the place. But just because, now that you come into, you know, the body of Christ, or you've said yes to the Lord, you forgot where you came from. So what makes this any worse and or better, less than what you did, whether it was stealing, drinking, you know, smoking, gambling, you know, sexing? You are no better or worse than, you know, this right here. Doesn't make it any greater. It's still, you know, it still needs to be dealt with. We still have to pull those roots up so that we can bring about deliverance and wholeness to a people. You know, so if we've been called to shepherd over his flock, because they are his, then how dare you, you know, reject that person who's coming, because isn't that what our cry is, to call them in? They give up or repent, whether it is, or just freedom of being delivered from that which had them bound and chained and shackled. So how is it that you are going to not be open to their deliverance? And why is it that you're nervous if they said that they would heal? Do you not trust in the God who is a deliverer to deliver them out of that bondage that they have been caught? So that means to me, or that you don't believe in the God that you serve, that he could heal even such a thing, you know, as someone who's been enslaved to prostitution, however it came about. But the bottom line is that they got out, and here you are charged to keep them, you know, connected to the vine, keep them to a place of knowledge and understanding of who they are, why they went through, and that there's joy and peace and happiness, and that there is deliverance, total deliverance, from that very thing that had them bound. So how is it that you are afraid to have them in your church, and why do we even have to have a church that's just for them when we call ourselves walking in the spirit of love?
Exactly.
It's love. It's all about love. So how is it that we even have a mindset that we would want to separate, you know, such bad people just like what? And if we only serve a God who is just that love,
exactly.
And then all the other fruits of the spirit has to manifest out of that. So that bothers me. That gets under my skin.
Exactly. You know, if Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to us, wouldn't you want other people to know about it too?
Absolutely.
You
because they
have
become a witness. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That he can deliver us out of every end of any imaginable thing, that there is absolutely still nothing too hard for God, even such a thing as this. So you're telling me that you don't believe.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, something that's been really on my mind, and I've been bringing this up, and I'm not mentioning this in a prideful way, but it is mentioned in one of my books, is the spirit of abuse. A lot of the churches have become, and this is a segue off of human trafficking, I'm sorry about that, but a lot of churches have become a personality of the pastor. You know, there's one lady that shared with me about bread. We're talking a loaf of bread. Now, honey, I know you're going to laugh because we're not laughing at this person because it's funny, but it was almost laughing like, you have got to be kidding me. But she was thinking about buying a loaf of bread, and I was talking to her. She said, I got to call my pastor. I said, are you okay? She said, well, I always call my pastor. He always tells me what kind of bread to buy. And I was
get
like, what?
Really?
And I know you don't believe me,
devil
right?
Devil.
You know what? And I said, you got to ask your pastor what kind of bread. Well, he likes me to call him and ask him, you know, oh, am I going to buy this kind of bread? Am I going to buy this kind of thing? And, well, what are you buying and what are you doing now? And I mean, that's just church abuse. And we wonder
that
why
is,
the church is
yes.
not ready. The church is not
yes.
ready. Why do you think
no,
all
not.
This stuff, crazy stuff is going on? Because, see, we have to get ready and we have to stay ready for
yes.
him when he moves. Now, look what has happened today. This terrible tragedy in Oklahoma has happened. We have a two-mile-wide tornado tore through this poor neighborhood. And I mean, I just told the Lord, my Lord God, please mobilize the Christians in that neighborhood. I didn't know if you had heard about that, Denise, but it just happened a couple of hours ago in Oklahoma. And I'm thinking, God, I hope these people are ready. And
uh-huh.
they had the governor of Oklahoma on, and they said, well, what do you need? She said, prayer. And I said,
yeah.
now there you go. You're at square
yeah.
one, and that's where we need to start, and that's where we need to end, and that's where
yeah.
we're going to have to stay. There's this personality
yeah.
of the pastor. We have so many pastors that exalt themselves over God, and it's not a dig on pastors. It's not a dig to my husband or anything like that. But I just think that there's so much church abuse going on out there. That it's time for God to sweep the churches clean, and churches have to be a vehicle for us to talk about Jesus Christ, a place for deliverance
yes.
and acceptance. And
yes.
again, I just don't understand how these people get to this point where you know, like you said, I'm like, well, we have to start a prostitute church just so we have a place for these people to feel like they're actually at home. Now, transgendering prostitution is the fastest growing segment of prostitutes. People who are transgendering or people who are female that are want to be male. There are prostitutes that are actually working both. They sometimes
uh-huh.
they're women, sometimes they're men. They're working at brothels
uh-huh.
and you know, brothels are becoming this family place where you take your family. I told my husband, what are they going to do? Put a daycare in there so your family can go? But Satan has continued to just
yes, he has.
Twist the church. Not he does, you know, he's a defrauder. He's
yes,
not
he is.
In it. I mean, why do people not believe what he's up to? He's a defrauder and an extortioner. Someone told me that
uh-huh.
recently. I think the devil's an extortioner. I said, yes, he's uh-huh. trying to extort us. Thank God somebody realizes that.
Uh-huh.
So we
it's
have to take a stand in the body
yeah.
of Christ.
Yes, absolutely.
Go
it's
ahead,
because
Denise,
we've been
it's your show. Sorry
uh-huh.
about that.
But it's because there needs to be an awakening, a shaking.
Yes.
You know, an awakening of the things that have caused us to be blind. So that's one of the reasons why, you know, again, I felt it compelled to do so, to have you here. And for those that are listening by way of radio in the audience, the dial number is 818-572-2919, and I'm getting ready to open up the line, so if you would just press 1, you'll come into the studio, and we will open your mic. All we ask is you give your first name if you desire to do so or not, but at least let us know what area you're calling us from, and then you are able to ask the guest a question concerning any of the points that we have talked about, and or if you have a concern, and or if you are in this particular situation and you need some help, or you know of someone, or you suspect this in your area, in your town, in your state, in your city, how do you get help, then press 1 and come into the studio, and, you know, we will do our best to get a resource to you and or answer whatever questions you have. Again, that's 818-572-2919. And we will be more than happy to answer your question. Also know that this is archived, so you'll be able to go back and answer, listen to the broadcast and answer it. And have any questions, you're able to get in contact with Mr. and Mrs. Miller. They're going to leave their information for you in just a moment. I do have one caller in the queue, and I'm going to open up their mic. If they have a question, they can press 1. 919-368. If you have a question or you just want to acknowledge the guest and just give them props for just coming on and or just, you know, acknowledgement of anything. So hold on, let me get my mics to work here. Caller 919-368, you're on the air. Thank you for calling Victory Against All Odds. Do you have a question or comment for myself and or the guest? Hello, can you hear me? 919-368. No comment? Can you hear me? Hello?
Denise?
I don't know. Yes.
they may have hung up.
I think they, okay. I think they did.
Yeah, I heard a click.
Okay. They hung up. Okay. Okay.
Well, that's
right.
Okay. We'll talk for 2 more hours. We've got plenty. Did you want us
okay.
to sing now? Because we can do that. Well, and I thought it was interesting, the music you played in the opening. That spoke to me, too. This is just, did you pick that? It just went right with everything that you had said. That's God for you.
Well, praise God. Well, you know, as we get ready to close, can we talk about, you know, I know you said you have, you're author of 3 books. Can you give us, talk a little bit about what those are and how one can purchase or get a hold of those books and where?
Oh, thank you. And I brought it up during the show, so sorry I brought that up, but I wasn't necessarily planning on doing that, but thank you for that. My first book's called Holy Slab, and it's Regaining Our Spiritual Fitness, and I wrote it several years ago, and the Lord told me it's more relevant now than ever because it does talk about church abuse and the personality of the pastor. And my second book is Chair of Intercession, and it talks about we view prayer like a chair. And I've had this community prayer group for, wow, it's gone on almost 15 or 16 years now. Just every set day of the week, just coming before the Lord. And the Lord always says, view it like a chair. Because when you're sitting in that chair, you know, it's like a call, a prayer of intercession. So this just, you know, God, I have always been an intercessor, and that's been one of my calls. And like Jerry said, that's a lot of the things have been birthed out of that and a lot of the visions too. My third book is not available right now, but the first two are. And they can always go on my website, www.sharehislightministries.org. www.sharehislightministries.org. And I also have a companion website, www.lifesfoodforthought.org. And lifesfoodforthought.org. And, you know, you can purchase my 2 books there. I also have a message that I put up, and people can hear that and read it. We do have our Shout to Stop Trafficking website, but all the websites go to the same sister website. So it's www.shouttostoptrafficking.org. So if people want to do that, they can always get my book at barnesandnoble.com. But if they do purchase it through the website at sharehislightministries.org, that, of course, that money goes back into the ministry to help victims. So thank you for letting me talk about my books.
Absolutely. How will others become connected? How are they to be advocates against human trafficking? How do we do that? How do we become an advocate? What steps do one need to take in order to become an advocate?
Well, I think Jerry said it quite beautifully in the beginning. You know, you have to educate yourself. When I first started talking about human trafficking, people didn't believe me. Again, they always said it's a third world issue. And, you know, transnational organized crime is actually increasing between countries, but it's decreasing to the United States a little bit because domestic minor sex trafficking is the fastest growing segment of human trafficking. And those are our kids under the age of 18 that traffickers are either coercing or kidnapping. Kidnapping in the United States for trafficking victims, it does happen, but more or less it's more of a coercion. You know, my, hey, baby, I'm the best thing that ever happened to you, that kind of thing. Or exploitive relationship becomes extreme and then it turns into human trafficking. I think you really just definitely have to educate yourself about what exactly is human trafficking, labor, sex, and body trafficking. And I think you need to pray too. You need to have a call. A believer, you know, we need to feel. I've heard people say, I really want to do this. And like Jerry said, he thought he was going to be a missionary. Now he's a pastor. He would never be a pastor and vice versa. But sometimes people have this incredible desire to do something for God, but that may not be everything that he wants you to do. It may be part of that. And so since I always worked, even in college, as an anti-violence advocate, that came out of that. I was always, God had always wanted me to work in anti-justice, you know, those kind of issues and come against injustice. And so if you really feel that this is a passion for you, and people are a passion for me, and, of course, human trafficking, I feel like that's one of my passions too. Just feel, you know, ask God, is this the call that I need? And I'm not exactly sure, but you know what? I'm going to try to educate myself and call the trafficking hotline. Talk to them. Get some free resources. They have a wonderful website. You can get on that, and they can also send you things through the toll-free number. And, you know, get some posters, and maybe in your church you might want to have a little human trafficking prayer time once a week or however you feel led. And then decide, you know, how do we want to go about this? Do I want to join other anti-violence groups in my community? Find out what they're doing. Do I want to be in touch with Pastors Against Trafficking or Shout to Stop? Or do I want to be involved with other believers and Body of Christ? Do we want to get together and do that? I think a lot of people aren't really sure what to do. But there's so many things that you can do. You can call local law enforcement. You can find out what's going on in your area. You can even search on the Internet. I don't know what we did before the Internet. I thank God for it. I think some people are not using it for the right way, but I think a lot of people like you, you know, and other people are using it for the right way, and they're redeeming the use of the Internet for good, and I'm thanking God for that. And, all, you know, talk about child safety. And you know, if people want some more practical tips, they can give us a call on our 24-hour prayer line, the 919-790-6067, or email us, shouttostop@bellsouth.net. They could email us, and we can just give them some more practical ideas. We can send them some information. So shouttostop@bellsouth.net. But I think whatever it is that people do, they need to do it with a passion, because if it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. And that's what God wants us to do, is do things with whole heart and with whole passion. And if we love Christ, we're going to find a way to love others. There's a number of books out that's called Crazy Love and all kinds of other love, but God's amazing love was crazy. Imagine, you know, a baby that grew to be a man who died on the cross for our sins. I mean, that is crazy, isn't it? Who else would do that? So I think, you know, identifying your strengths, people don't talk enough about their spiritual gifts. What is it that you think you do better than anything else? And hopefully as a Christian, we think it's loving other people, because God took time to send Jesus, and he loved us so much that he died for us. So, you know, find your passion. Pray about it. And I think sometimes people, I'm not an intercessor, but you know what? We're never going to be as strong as when we're on our knees in prayer. If we really want to hear from God, we're going to find time to get on our knees before the Father and ask him. If we dare to ask him what he thinks, he will tell us. I love that. I love that God can do that. If we dare to ask him, he'll tell us. But we have to be open. We can't just let that be, you know, deflected off and away from us. I don't want to do that. I think some people are afraid to spend time with God because they are afraid he's going to call them to do something. I say, call me. I'll be willing to do it. Jerry, how about you? Are you there?
Yes, I sure am.
Yes. Do you have anything to say about Pastors Against Trafficking?
Well, I just...
how they can get in touch with you?
They can email at pat dot shout at yahoo.com, pat.shout, pat.shout@yahoo.com, and we can and just let me know of what if you need a resource, if you need some direction, whatever you need, we'll try to see what we can do to try to resource you in that area, whether it be awareness, whether it be connecting you with someone maybe in your area, maybe with a church or, that's doing something, or with an organization that's doing something in your area. Let us know, and we would be happy to help you out in whatever way that we possibly can.
Amen. Now, what was the 1-888 number again?
1-888-37-37-888. So they just broke up the middle, you know, the end number into the middle, so it's easier to remember. 1-888-37-37-888.
Okay. And that's the National Center?
The National Trafficking Resource Center, yes. Jerry, isn't it called the National Human Trafficking Resource Center?
Yes.
National Human Trafficking.
And they call it their hotline as well.
Yes, and that's where
okay.
you can also call for tips. If you do see someone and you don't feel comfortable calling local law enforcement, you can call them. They'll record it, and you can do it anonymously too. And then the police and law enforcement in our area or wherever you're calling from, they will get the tip, and they'll go out and check it out.
Okay. All righty. That is awesome.
Well, thank you
awesome.
For inviting us today.
I had a ball. I really did. And this has been a wealth of information. Again, the download will be available in about by 9. At 9:45, everyone can go back and listen, including yourself, can go back and listen only via Internet. You won't be able to dial a number. You'll just have to use the www.blogtalkradio.com/victory-against-all-odds. So you'll actually have to listen to the archive via Internet only, and it'll be ready by 9:45. And like I said, it's out there until eternity, when the rapture comes. The Lord, those that are left behind, they'll figure it out after a while. Praise God.
If you want us to come
like,
back, we'll sing too.
You can go back and listen. I'm like, man, so they'll have a chance. I thank God for each of you for joining me. I really, really do. Man and woman of God, keep on doing what you do. Keep on, as I say, standing on the wall. That's what I call it. And being a resource and a light to those that have been assigned to your hand. And be encouraged, be strengthened. Know that your reward is just great. I can see you know, multitudes of people being delivered and set free because of your voice, and that you are shouting to stop human trafficking. And
Thank you.
I praise God for you, for the both of you, and hope to be in contact with you some more, as I am going to be a part of whatever door I am able to open to get the message out, and for you all to come and vendor, sponsor, whatever it is you need to do. Like I said, I'm be going to Canada, and definitely would like it if you are able to do that, and then we'll get you in the magazine, and you can sponsor a page or have a page or whatever information you would like to share as the magazine travels internationally as well. Just, you know, whatever resources that are available to you, and would like whatever I can do in return in terms of helping you all get the message out, I don't mind. I do live. We'll do a live broadcast, and so that as the conference is going on or whatever, we can broadcast live at the same time. Just give me notice. So I don't mind being a resource for you as well. So
thank
you.
Are we off the air?
No, I have 5 minutes, and I'm getting ready to do my closing remark, and then we're going to put the music back on, different song going out, and we'll be done. So
I was just going to say thank you to everybody for listening.
Yes, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say God bless everybody for listening, and we're praying for them.
Amen. Thank you.
You are so welcome. God bless you. And I thank each and every listener, those that were in the chat room, those were in the studio, and those that are listening. Thank you for joining us. We have had some hard challenges in our life, but we know that those that are listening under the sound of my voice, we know that you may have been able to hide pain, but we know that we serve a God who is a God of deliverance. It is possible to walk in freedom and deliverance of sexual abuse on any level, of any kind, against all odds. You are able to walk in victory even on today. You, too, can overcome all odds against you. Every obstacle that comes to try to block you and keep you bound, you can walk in freedom today. So we say, don't be bound any longer. I am here to help you walk in total victory. So tune in as you begin to gain understanding of your physical, emotional challenges that you're facing for yourself, you, your loved ones, your friends, your families, your coworkers, your church members, and those that are connected to you. We thank God for you. Together, we can learn powerful strategic weapons to combat the seemingly insurmountable obstacles that life can bring and begin to process of healing and, most importantly, forgiveness. My email address is odds_against_U@yahoo.com. Or you may Facebook me at facebook.com/victoryagainstallodds. I thank each and every one of you again for listening and tuning in on this evening. Until next time, you are listening to Victory Against All Odds right here on Blog Talk Radio. Have a blessed day. And remember and never forget to walk in victory. God bless each and every one of you. Amen. And we're going to go out with this small piece right here.
Is anybody glad in the room for Jesus? Is there anybody that's glad in this room for Jesus? Before we quit, can you sing that tonight? Say Jesus. Jesus.
Jesus.
Who rose again?
Jesus.
Who died for me and you?
Jesus.
Who is your Savior? Who is your King?
Jesus.
Will ever call you?
Jesus.
Call your holy name?
Jesus.
What's the name above all names?
Jesus.
Who is the name above all names?
Jesus.
Who has resurrection power? Who has resurrection power?
Jesus.
Can you lift your hands and call his name?
Jesus.
On one accord, we worship the name.
Jesus.
We're gathered here to call your name.
Because
where two or three are gathered, you see,
Jesus.
He's in the midst. The midst of me, there's power in that name. There's power to chase demons in that name. Who delivered you from every sickness? Who saved your marriage and saved your home? Lift your hands and call the name.
Jesus.
Lift your hands and call. time. Don't get tired.
Jesus.
He's worthy of our worship and praise.
Jesus.
Who is the lily of the valley?
Jesus.
The sweetest name. The sweetest name is
Jesus.
Once again, just worship the name. Can you say his name one more time? It's Jesus.
Jesus.
Thank you for tonight, Jesus. For what you did in this room tonight, we give praise. Holy and sovereign is your name. We could call your name all night long.
Jesus.
We could call your name all night long.
Jesus.
All together on one accord, his name is Jesus. Come on, lift up the greatest praise that you have for the greatest name that ever was, is, and will be, for the name that is above all.
Good night. God bless you.
God bless
you. God bless you. Thank you so much.